evening. Moving on to other business, our first item of other business is the Vineyards at Nassau Valley Phase 2 final site plan.
This is a final site plan for Phase 2 for the construction of additional residential homes. This phase consists of 316 residential dwelling units, single-family apartments, and condominium building types. The plan modifies the parking lot contained in the Phase 1 and Phase 1A projects. The Planning Commission approved a revised master plan for the project on November 12, 2016 and granted preliminary site plan approval on February 25, 2016. The property is zoned C1. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 5, Parcel 152.06, and staff is in receipt of all agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the Vineyards at Nassau Valley Phase 2 for final approval of the final site plan.
That's right.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the Vineyards at Nassau Valley Phase 2 final site plan as a final. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Lands of Chorman, conditional use number 2055, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan to allow a private airstrip with landing field, tie down, and parking area for Jeffrey Allen Chorman as part of conditional use 2055. Planning Commission reviewed the conditional use at their meeting on August 25th, 2016. The County Council approved the conditional use at their meeting on October 4th, 2016. The property is owned by Sharp Farms Limited Partnership and is partially being leased to the Chormans for the airstrip. The conditional use consists of 5.7 acres and is zoned AR1. The tax parcel is 338.46. We have waived the agency approval requirements, so we feel it's in compliance.
So is your recommendation that this could be approved as a final without any further action?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, regarding Chorman Airstrip, conditional use 2055, I move for approval of preliminary and final.
That's good right there.
Okay. Thank you.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the Lands of Chorman conditional use number 2055 preliminary site plan as both a preliminary and a final. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Heron Bay revised amenity site plan.
This is a revision to the amenity site plan to relocate a buffer and jogging path. The revision to the buffer is to relocate the buffer near the amenities common open space area from the residential lots to the amenities common space parcel, and the relocation of the buffer then shifts the jogging path closer to the other amenities.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to key properties.
Oh, that one here in Bay. Next page.
Heron Bay.
Yeah. Because that one came off. I don't know, you meant it, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to Heron Bay, I move for approval of the preliminary site plan with final site plan approval subject to staff upon all receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the revised amenity site plan for Heron Bay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Lands of Park Ridge LLC, minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of two parcels of land with a residual and the creation of a 50-foot easement. The two new parcels will contain 17.643 acres plus or minus and 30.794 acres plus or minus. The residual will contain 33.265 acres. The new easement will go over an existing driveway. The proposed easement is over 1,000 feet and requires approval by the Planning Commission. Any further subdivision shall require a major subdivision. The property is zoned AR1. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 14, Parcel 22, and staff is awaiting approvals from the Office of State Fire Marshal and DLDOT.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to Lands of Park Ridge LLC, I move for approval of the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement with final approval by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve Lands of Park Ridge LLC minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement. And I'm sorry, was your motion for any further subdivision or no? Was that in the...
Yes.
Any further subdivision have to come back to...
Okay, with the provision, any further subdivision would have to come back as a major subdivision application. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is lands of John Paul Vickers Jr., minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of one parcel of land with a residual and the creation of a 50-foot easement. The new parcel will contain 1.53 acres, and the residual will contain 3.63 acres. The new easement will go over an existing driveway. The proposed easement is over 1,000 feet and requires approval by the Planning Commission. The property is zoned AR1. The tax district is 235, map 25, parcel 40.02, and staff is awaiting approval from the Office of State Fire Marshal and DLDOT.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to lands of John Paul Vickers Jr., I move for approval of the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement with final approval by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement for lands of John Paul Vickers Jr., subject to receipt of all other permits. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next item is lands of Olson, minor subdivision with 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of two parcels of land with residual and the creation of a 50-foot easement. The new parcels will contain 1.25 acres. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, they'll create 2.2 acres and 0.75 acres, and the residual will contain 15 acres. The new easement will go over the existing driveway. Any further subdivision shall require a major subdivision. The property is zoned AR1. The tax parcel is District 330, Map 7, Parcel 10.01. Staff is awaiting approval from the Office of State Fire Marshal and DLDOT, and I did hand out just a new revised one. They had to rework one of the property lines and the location of the 50-foot easement to make sure that one of the buildings met the setback. So that's why it changed, is they were trying to make sure that the buildings met the setback. So the easement, lot 2, increased in size and will actually have road frontage along State Route 36. And then the easement will go through that and then go back to lot 3.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, for the lands of Olson, I move for approval of this minor subdivision with the 50-foot easement with final approval by staff upon all agency approvals.
Second.
The move is seconded to approve the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement for the lands of Olson with the provision that any further subdivision will be the subject of a major subdivision hearing and subject to receipt of all of the permits. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is lands of Britton and Umbrell, minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision and a lot line adjustment plan for the creation of one parcel of land and a residual and the utilization of an existing 50-foot easement. The new parcel will contain 0.81 acres. There are currently two lots, and the minor subdivision will create a new parcel from the existing two parcels. Any further subdivision shall require a major subdivision. The property is zoned AR1. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 20, Parcel 1, and District 133, Map 7, Parcel 16, and staff is awaiting approval from DLDOT.
Mr. Chairman, for the lands of Britton and Umbrell, I move for approval of the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement with final by staff upon receipt of the agency approvals.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve a minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement for lands in Britton and Umbrell with the stipulation that any further subdivision will require a major subdivision application and subject to receipt of all the permits. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is lands of Robinson, minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of one parcel of land with a residual and the creation of a 50-foot easement. The new parcel will contain 1 acre. The residual will contain 10.95 acres. The new easement will go over the existing driveway. The property is zoned AR1. The tax parcel is District 133, Map 6, Parcel 33, and staff is awaiting approval from DLDOT. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant approval for the application of lands of Robertson with a minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement, pending the staff waiting approval or receiving approval from DLDOT.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve a minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement for lands of Robinson, subject to receipt of the DLDOT approval. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, that completes our other business. Before we move on to additional business, let's refer back to our public hearings go ahead and finish with those. Our first public hearing was conditional use number 2064 R&K Partners.
Mr. Chairman, on the matter of conditional use 2064, I move that we defer action for further consideration by the commission.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2064 R&K Partners. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item, our next public hearing was conditional use number 2070 Cape Henlopen School District.
Without objection, Mr. Chairman, I have a motion for recommending approval. Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 2070 for Cape Henlopen School District for a special needs school, the Sussex Consortium, based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the property is zoned AR1 and it is within the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. This is an appropriate location for a school. Two, the property is in an area that is agricultural with areas developing residentially. It is also in proximity to the Route 9 and Sweetbriar Road intersection. This is an appropriate location for this proposed school. Three, the use as a school will benefit families and particularly children of Sussex County. Four, the school addresses a growing need, needs classroom space for special needs students in Sussex County. Five, the school will be served by central sewer and water, and it will be part of the Sussex County Sewer District. Six, the State Department of Education, the State Office of Management and Budget, and the Office of State Planning and Coordination have all approved this site. Seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the site shall comply with the Delta entrance and roadway improvement requirements. B, the site shall comply with all requirements of Sussex Conservation District. C, all lighting shall be downward screened so it does not shine on neighboring properties and roadways. D, one lighted sign shall be permitted. It shall not exceed 32 square feet per side. E, all dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roadways. F, a landscape plan shall be submitted as part of the final site plan. And G, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2070 Cape Henlopen School District for the reasons with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right, then. Moving on with our additional business this evening, we have a presentation regarding commercial zoning districts.
Thank you. The staff has been working with Kyle Gabronson from AECOM per the County Council's request to take a look at creating the creation of some additional zoning districts. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Gabronson and...
Well, he's doing that. This has sort of been an initiative of council in light of some recent applications and sort of a trend, I think, that we've seen in terms of concerns that are expressed in rezoning applications, and you're starting to see some of them. I know Mr. Hudson's seen one, I think, and certainly Mr. Ross and Mr. Wheatley, where a lot of the opposition is based on a request to rezone to a classification that allows any number of certain uses within that classification. And at the time of rezoning, there's no specificity of what actually is going to be built there. And so people a lot of times object. They say, well, you know, that's fine. It may make sense to put this particular use there, but the zoning district they're applying for is wide open. And the idea is, and it's one that I think has some traction within the development community and certainly the public, is, you know, to make it so that the zoning districts for commercial uses, commercial business, aren't so wide open. So that if somebody applies for a district, there's sort of a coordinated understanding of what can go in there. And it just leads to a little more predictability, I think, for everybody that's involved. So, and I probably stole all of Kyle's thunder in saying that, but what the council wanted to do was kind of get going on this, and so we've gotten Kyle's group involved, and we've had a couple meetings and sort of noodled through it all, and I think that's where he is now.
Okay. So. Before we get rolling, I have a curious question. I see that we have a current commercial zoning classification called urban business.
There is, to anybody's knowledge, not a single urban business zone anywhere in Sussex County.
Yeah, I've been doing this for 24 years.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've seen that.
Yeah, no, it's in there, so.
In the comp plan.
But there is nothing zoned UB in the county.
Yeah.
Okay, then. All right.
So there we have it.
Well, we don't have to be worried too much about urban business then, do we?
Mr. Bronson, have you been before the commission before? You're a new face to me.
I believe so. I've been doing this for a long time, so several years ago.
Once for the record, if you would introduce yourself and give us like 50 words of what qualifies you to be here.
Okay. My name's Kyle LeBronson. I'm an urban land use planner with AECOM Corporation. I'm a certified land use planner. I've been doing land use planning in Delaware for about 30 years now.
Since you were 12.
Yeah, seems like it. My family and I moved here in 2005 to Sussex County. I was working for URS, which then became AECOM, in the Wilmington office. My first actual planning job was with Kent County Planning, where Janelle came from. So I've been doing this for quite a while, working with DENREC, worked for the Delaware Nature Society for a while in land preservation. So. Doing land use planning for some time. The reason we're in Sussex County, when I left my job with DENREC and became a planner with URS, most of my clients were in Sussex County. I was commuting after planning commission meetings like this back to Wilmington every evening. They decided that we needed to open an office in Sussex County, so we've been here ever since, serving Sussex County clients primarily.
Okay, well,
and I would add that URS and Kyle in particular provides a lot of representation to the local towns, and that was one of the reasons that the county looked to his firm as one that we would retain, because of there was so much local knowledge already with them in Sussex County. Just before you go on, just Mr. Wheatley, you asked about the urban business, or I think part of that too is that it's designed to be in towns that were, and I don't even know that this exists anymore, where it's incorporated municipalities that have no zoning provisions of their own and which choose to come under the Sussex County Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance. So it's one of those old ones, and there was a few towns that didn't used to have their own zoning, but I don't even know that any of them fall into that category anymore.
Okay.
Interesting. So it's a real unique sort of,
Okay.
It's a lot.
Very good. All right, sir. Proceed.
Okay. Well, Vince had covered some of what we had discussed about some of the problems that we have. But I think the biggest issue that we have with zoning for commercial uses in Sussex County is there's real no predictability. It's sort of a one-size-fits-all commercial category. You get zoned commercial, you can build an ice cream stand, or you can build a large car dealership. It's sort of one-size-fits-all. And that's... From what I've heard, is part of the concern the county council has is that there's no predictability. They can rezone something, and 5 years later, there might be something totally different built there, because there are so many uses that are allowed in our commercial districts. So what we've done, we've looked at the four commercial zoning districts that the county currently has: the urban business, which we know no lands are zoned that; the neighborhood business district, the B1 district; the C1 district, which is a closed district; and the commercial residential district, the CR1 district, which is the majority of the commercial lands in the county. And if you look at the number of uses allowed in each of those districts, the UB district has 126 permitted uses. The B1 district has 65 permitted uses. Commercial residential district, the CR1, has 110 permitted commercial uses in that district. So it runs the gamut of what can be there.
Can I just stop you there? Because this is a teachable moment for both of you gentlemen. The C1 district was historically the county's commercial zoning district. Everything was zoned C1. That's if you got zoning back when they established zoning for commercial, it was C1, and then if you applied for a new commercial zone, it was C1. The issue there was that under C1 you could get up to 12 units an acre residential as a permitted use. So there was a lot of C1 zone land that was being taken away for high-density residential uses, particularly on Route 1, some of that residential on Route 1, that was the case.
Route 24.
Well, true, yeah, and probably even some of the others. And so about maybe 10 years ago, the county looked to seek to clarify a little bit so that if you're applying for commercial, you had to do commercial in there unless you also went for conditional use to get residential. So what they did is they said we can't apply for any more C1 at that point. That was a closed district. Means if you had C1, you still have the C1 zoning and all the rights that go with it. But if you're applying for new commercial zoning, it would be CR1, where you didn't have residential use up to 12 units an acre permitted.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you, if it was zoned back then as
it's
C1? The,
it's still, still C1. Okay. So you'll see C1 all over the place.
And is that the proposal moving forward, too, that even with the change of these classifications, this only applies to new? Or are we going to reclassify
now,
C1?
It would be a new application. So if somebody's applying
for a change of zone, it's going to have to be to one of these new
yeah,
ones, right?
Yeah, we're not okay. going to take away anybody's okay. zoning.
Okay. Is there a process by which the county can undertake the rezoning of property without a property owner applying for that?
Yeah, it can come from the county or it can come from the landowner.
Yeah.
Historically, it's always come. I mean, except for the beginning, it's always come from
the original paintbrush.
Yeah, the original paintbrush was the county, but ever since then, it's all been by applicant,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I just wonder sometimes if we shouldn't perhaps look at that, especially in view of what we're getting ready to do here.
Some of the municipalities in the county have done that. They've been proactive, and if they've modified their land use plan and their comp plan, they have proactively, working with property owners, rezoned land.
Yeah.
At one fell swoop, if you will, to be consistent.
I think we're all kind of jumping ahead of you because
we're going to let you do your thing.
Yeah,
we're
way ahead at this
right.
point. But what we thought might be a good approach to get some predictability in the county's zoning is to identify some possible new zoning categories. And we've looked at possibly 7 new categories, each with very specific uses, but smaller numbers of uses so that if something's zoned to a certain category, there's somewhat certainty of what's going to actually happen there. So I'll go through each of the 7. And of course, this is very preliminary. This could change, most likely will change as we go through this process. So I'll go through each one briefly so you get a feel for what each category might be. We have a neighborhood business category, which would be renamed as B2 as opposed to the current B1. And this basically serves like your current neighborhood business district. It's for smaller uses, smaller retail, local corner store, things that will serve a smaller residential area. Basically services, retail, things of that nature that serves a residential purpose. The next district is the medium commercial district or the C3 district. This is sort of a step-up district from the neighborhood business district. It allows a little bit more of a mix of uses, some office use, small-scale offices, things of that nature. And again, this is smaller-scale retail that serves a smaller residential area. Now, the C3 commercial district would be a heavy commercial district. It would be more auto-oriented, the type of uses you'd see along Route 1 or Route 24. Auto-oriented businesses, larger scale commercial, things that are typically found in a commercial transportation corridor. And then sort of the highest density or highest category in the commercial zones that we're proposing would be the C4 district, which is a planned commercial district. And this would be for a large-scale commercial development, maybe similar to what we've seen recently proposed for Route 1 or a new outlet center or something like that. So very large scale. It's a mix of retail, services, and office uses.
Now, I'll interrupt you right there. This is actually one that's been floated around for years at the county.
This is the commercial plan development.
Yeah, it's almost, it's almost like an RPC for commercial. So that, you know, if you have somebody who's coming in for a large scale plan, they can submit it and the commission and the county could condition it, you know, in that way everybody's clear on what you get if it's appropriate.
And just for these guys' benefit, the issue has been that the process of change of zone and site plan approval has always been separated. It's always been two different things. Mm-hmm. What this allows us to do is to look at it all at one time, and you'll be able to approve it with conditions, which you can't do with a change of zone. Change of zone is yes or no. You know, so this to me is a very important element that we've needed for a while, and
yeah, I think
I'm hoping we can see this make its way.
I think it's needed. It will yield a better planned, more well planned, more rounded development, more quality development, I think.
Well, you can address the specific concerns of the neighbors much better this way too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a lot of times folks come in, they have legitimate points, we can't do anything about it.
Yeah, approving it concurrently, I think.
I think that the development community likes this as well, particularly the responsible ones, because they feel like they know they have a project in mind, and that's what they're going to do. And we can say, okay, if that's what you're going to do, that's what we're going to make you do, and it takes all that mistrust and uncertainty out of the equation.
It adds predictability for everybody,
yeah.
On both sides.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. The next category is a C5 category, limited service, limited manufacturing, commercial. This is a little bit more intense, more of your light industrial uses, light manufacturing uses that are compatible with commercial and retail as well. So it's sort of a step up from the other categories, getting into a little bit more of a manufacturing kind of operation.
How does this integrate with the LI1 district? It looks like there's some crossover there.
There is some crossover, and some of the uses in the L1 are actually would be incorporated into this as well.
And so is the goal to eventually close the L1?
I don't think so. We haven't discussed that, but I think just, again, narrowing down those uses.
Sure. We've also seen a number of commercial uses that have as a component that is more manufacturing with them. So this would give them a place to go without having to go through a conditional use or through the more industrial place when they're kind of a hybrid commercial manufacturing use. So I think that's the intent for this one. It's okay. Trying to find those ones we've seen
good
a little
example,
bit more after.
On 113 just north of Millsboro, there's a Doggy Bakery that just opened up recently, and it's sort of a retail hybrid manufacturing facility, and that would be the perfect use for this type of category.
Now, with these kind of these new categories, does it get real specific what you can put?
It's narrowed down.
Okay.
For example, this district has, you know, and this is all very conceptual, has 18 uses in it. So it's very specific.
So that was my question. It gets pretty specific. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. All right.
Yeah. So if the property is zoned C5, you have a good handle on what's going to happen there.
And we've got, it's just not done enough yet, and we wanted to get this out to everybody so that you kind of understand what we're working on. There is sort of a chart, you know, and it's figuring out what goes where. And I will say a component of this also is, if you ever take the time to go through our current zoning districts, there's some stuff in there that nobody does anymore, first of all.
Yeah, the buggy whip stores
need to be there.
And so on. And there's no provision for you know, internet sales business.
Right, I was going to say,
because these things weren't contemplated in
microbreweries or whatever. You know, yeah. So it cleans up some things, too.
Yeah, buggy whips.
I don't even want to ask what you use them for.
Today.
You want to go there.
Yeah.
Okay. The next potential district is a professional office district, and it's just as it's titled. This would be for office park development, offices, medical offices, things of that nature. And working for the communities that I do, I know there's a definite need for office park development in this county. I always tell the story of when my company decided to locate to Sussex County. AECOM is a big corporation. We have 160,000 employees in 300 countries around the world. Everything's very corporate oriented. When I had to do an office search to find an office in Sussex County, we have corporate folks that do that for us. They know better than any local folks do. Not true. But they came back with a report that we paid a lot of money for, saying there was no office space in Sussex County and that we couldn't locate here. Believe it or not. So
creating a zoning district would help with that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I we hear it all the time in the communities that, you know, we need economic development here, but we don't have the resources. We can't attract large businesses because we don't have the appropriate locations for them.
And this would also free up, you know, we hear people who have conditional uses say they need to get a rezoning because they can't get financing because the conditional use, you know, would expire if it was abandoned or whatever else, and it's hard to finance. This would eliminate a lot of that because they would have the zoning that allows it, and it would allow people to a little more freedom and flexibility to work within that zoning district than having to come back to amend a conditional use or whatever every time on an office.
You know, I think that's why we're here. There was two issues. One is one shoe size doesn't fit all in a CR1, and the other is because one shoe size didn't fit all, we were actually pushing people to do CUs.
Yeah, right.
This will reduce that number of CUs. So, you know, I totally agree with the direction we're going in, and I'm jumping a little ahead, but you mentioned that there was different draft permitted uses, and I guess I'm just thinking that, you know, between now and when we introduce an ordinance with the permitted uses, we probably need to communicate with people from the Association of Realtors, the Chamber of Commerce, members of the bar that work with the land use code all the time, CDAC. Any interested people digitally would be good. I mean, in today's environment, you don't have to have a face-to-face meeting.
Right.
But to get their feedback on those permitted uses within each of these districts so that they can start to feel that. And that way, maybe when we do introduce an ordinance, we've at least flushed out any deal breakers or refined it a little bit. I mean, we're still going to go through the public hearing process. We're not going to cut anybody out of that. But it'd be good to get some informed background before we start, you know, introducing an ordinance formally, I think. But
yeah, absolutely. And I think Janelle might touch on that when we wrap up here. But this is just an interim step to just start getting some ideas together and really looking at the uses that we have. And like Mr. Wheatley was saying, there are some that are obsolete now. There are some that the code didn't anticipate when it was drafted. So that's really what we've done. And back to the professional office district, that district also allows service-oriented businesses that would serve office workers, restaurants, dry cleaners, you know, things of that nature. So there is some retail and service in that district as well. And last but not least, going through these discussions, it was believed that there's a need for an institutional zoning category for schools, hospitals, government buildings, EMS stations, things of that nature. So that's what this district would be intended to serve.
That struck me, you know, a medical office and a school conditional uses. That never expires, right? I mean, that doesn't...
No, it can expire.
It has conditional use, though.
If they build a school there.
Well, like if they abandon it...
They continue to use it.
Yeah,
it stands idle for more than a year.
3 years, I think it is.
Yeah, it's and so you know a school's not gonna. That's you know not the example of one, but there's plenty that if they're abandoned, you know they get wiped off. So it goes back to air one. And that's what the banks, for example, we hear a lot of times say that, you know, if they have a 20 or 30 year mortgage on it, they want to make sure that the use is permanent. You know,
are we doing anything with LI1, LI2, HI1, and M1, or no?
Not at this point. This is.
That's where all we have left, right? We don't have. Is HI1 and 2 or just one?
Just one.
Yeah, so it's LI1, LI2, HI1.
Where would, I mean, there's national and international interest in data centers, data accumulation, and all that. Would that fit in this box, or is that in a different box?
I think that would probably be in one of the more intense. Commercial categories.
They're not always that big, is the thing. You know, their square footage is not huge. It's intense.
It's intense.
Energy and all that.
But it would probably be in a C5 category. I don't have the list of uses.
Okay, and then the second one is hotels. I mean, right now, HR1, hotel, we have, it just doesn't seem the right place to have hotels within a residential zoning district. Does that fit in one of these boxes, or do we need a hotel district?
Hotels fit into several of these categories, but there isn't a specific hotel district.
But we need to consider that within the permitted uses or not. within that. And then, or maybe we'll, I mean, we're doing the comp plan review. We can always stick a hotel district in there, even if we don't use it.
Yeah.
And that would open up the door for a future reference to that. But there's an increasing pressure on communities, Dewey, Rehoboth, Bethany, where we have people building McMansions to house 20 people, right? When it appears that you have a big demand for rental space, the best place for that is in a hotel motel environment, not pushing them into the community. So by allowing a hotel district or some financially feasible form, that might take some pressure off those communities of having these, you know, these quasi-miniature hotels within their communities.
I work with Rehoboth on that issue.
Yeah, it's a big issue there. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think that's about it.
So this was just a very conceptual kind of just, you know, first, you know, high draft thinking what we were coming up with. You know, we wanted to get ideas, and I think we've gotten a few. And if you've got more, please let us know, because we're going to be working, digging down a little bit more, coming up with, you know, proposed a little bit more finite about uses about in the districts, and, you know, kind of trying to figure out best, you know, path forward from going here. And of course, we'll be getting back together with council as well before even a draft is even considered. So we just wanted to present this, and we will definitely be reaching out to other agencies and groups to make sure we get all of their buy-in. We actually had that discussion when we were kind of discussing this. It's, we wanted to make sure we got everybody kind of on board and understanding what we're trying to do, so, you know, we can hear everybody's concerns and feedback.
But, you know, I think this is a great first start. I think it's exactly what we were discussing. I think everybody in the county was looking at this from the same lens that we all work with, and so I think it's a great start. And just reach out to those non-governmental people, the bar, the people that work with this all the time, just to see what their instincts or their smell taste is.
Because that's the point I was going to make, Mr. Ross, is we definitely want to get there, because we want to be able to present to you all and then also the council with really something that's been vetted, you know, among those groups. Because we don't want to get into it. I mean, as you said, absolutely, there's a public hearing and there's going to be some changes, but we really don't want to get into a whole lot of horse trading among those categories, because that's going to devolve into a, you know, a mess. We want to try to get it to a point where we all think, based on the input from everybody, that it's pretty close to final, you know.
I agree.
So okay. I think that'll be the most useful use of your time.
All right, then. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Brunson, do you have a business card?
Yes.
If you want to distribute a handful out here.
Hey, did you bring enough for everybody? All right. Our next item on the agenda is a discussion of the comprehensive plan. Ms. Cornwell, you want to give us the 30-second update?
Sure. Just a reminder that there will be a combined workshop between County Council and the Planning Commission on February 7th at 1:30 at the West Complex to discuss the draft goals and objectives and potential vision and potential even, it depending how far we go, land use scenarios for the upcoming comp plan.
Put an email out for that.
I will do that.
What time is that? 1:30, you say?
1:30 at the West Complex, and I will send out an email.
It's a Tuesday afternoon on the 7th, right?
The 7th, Tuesday, February 7th.
Perfect.
Who will be there?
The County Council, the Planning Commission, McCormick Taylor has been invited. I've asked the Sussex County planner from DelDOT to be there, just in case there are any questions that he might be able to answer. And then, of course, staff will be there as well.
And it's a public meeting.
So they're open.
When we do these workshops, the public doesn't participate. They can sit and listen, but they don't participate.
Not here. It's not at the West Complex where we were before.
It is a public meeting. Anybody's welcome to attend. So. All right, is there anyone with us this evening who would like to speak regarding the comprehensive land use plan? All right, then. Hearing the crickets, we'll move on.
Ms. Cornwell, I know that when Mr. Johnson was nearing retirement and he had a really huge workload, and we changed our format a little bit about assigning different applications to commissioners, and we started taking the initials off of our agenda and stuff. I think we did that to try to spread the workload out of Mr. Johnson because he was had so much work. With the shakeup of the commission, perhaps it would be easier for everybody to follow the agenda if we started doing that again, putting the initials of the commissioner who might lead that discussion. And then if we decide to change that on the fly like we did tonight a couple times, we can certainly do that. But it might help, I think, with the new faces around the table, might help everybody prepare for the meeting a little better.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing I do want to bring up is that I discussed with Mr. Robinson and then separately with Mr. Lawson today about the notion of having a training workshop for the Planning and Zoning Commission. We would do this as soon as possible after we get our fifth commissioner, which we don't have yet, but I understand is on the way. This would be a public workshop format. I suspect it would be led in large part by Mr. Robertson cover the high spots of the ordinance and the rules of the commission, which you hear us talk about once in a while, but you probably haven't seen very much of them, and we can cover some of the of the finer points of that, and just try to bring all the new folks up to speed so that you're not taken by surprise.
Sign me up.
Well, that's the idea. The timing of it would still be working on. We don't have our fifth person yet, so I know that generally the four of us can be available during the day. We don't know if that's going to be the case with our fifth one, because we don't know who it is yet. But I would suspect that if possible, it would probably be a daytime meeting, although there isn't any reason why it couldn't be an evening meeting that I'm aware of, but it could not be a Thursday evening meeting for based on my discussion with Mr. Lawson today. That was something that was felt we didn't want to do it on an off Thursday at Thursday night for fear of confusing the public about what we were doing. Public is certainly a meeting will be posted, noticed, but public's welcome to attend, but it's really going to be a training session for all of us.
My wife is still trying to train me. We've been married 38 years.
Barney, you know.
You still got training wheels on your bike?
I guess I'm not trainable.
Well, but I think that would be, and if anyone has any input on that, I'll be happy to listen to it.
I think it's a good idea, Bob. I think, typically the commission doesn't have this high rate of turnover. I mean, we have one commissioner go off and we have four experienced commissioners on. And
going on 24 years, and this is the first time I've ever seen this many new people at one time. I mean, normally the turn, you get one every two or three years at most, you know. Yeah.
And you both have the experience now of having sat through a couple hearings. And I think that, because I know I've talked to both of you about how some of the stuff works, but if you don't have anything to relate it to, it's kind of all it's out there, you know. And now you'll have some context for it, so hopefully that'll help too. Okay.
Anyone else have anything for the good of the order?
Nope.
All right, then. There being none, we stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing. May I see you for a second?
Sure.